Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia. This is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We are in a series where we're considering the components of the greatest news in the world. Why is it so great? Because we have such a great problem. Sin against God. And this great news of the gospel is how sinners like you and me can be in a right relationship with God. And we've said that there are four components to the gospel. We have to know something about God as the creator, the lawgiver, the holy one. We also have to know about man. What is the situation? Yes, we're created good and honorable in God's very image. Given dominion over the rest of his creation. But the problem is we've plunged into sin. We violated God's law that he gave to Adam and Eve. In Adam, we fell because he was our representative. So now we want to shift gears to our third component, which is God's provision. What are we going to do with our bad news situation? Well, God made a way for sinful people to be in a right relationship with himself by sending his son, the Lord Jesus, the God-man himself. Now, why did God do it? Now, I know that some of you may have heard people get so into, oh, God is so loving and kind, and God just loves, that it kind of turns your stomach and you go, I don't know, it's not about that. It's about God's glory and that sort of thing. But the Bible makes it absolutely clear that God sent Jesus because of his love for sinful creatures, undeserving sinful creatures. These are facts. And we know this from the scripture, so plain. The most famous verse in the Bible, it has to be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Later, when Jesus was about to go to the cross, he was interacting with his disciples in John 15, verse 12. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends." So that's significant, isn't it? The Lord Jesus himself said, "I love you, and I am doing the greatest act of love possible by laying down my life for you, my friends." 1 John's letter, his first letter that we have in scripture, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." So the cross of Christ is the very standard of love. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I love this, where it says, "But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He didn't wait for us to clean our act up. He didn't wait for us to become lovable. He sent his son to suffer and die for us because he loved us when we were unworthy and unlovable. That is just a great thing to reflect upon, even while you're hearing these words. So this was the plan. God said, "All right, I made you, you've sinned, I'm making provision for you to come and be in a right relationship with God. So we're sending Jesus because of love." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So this is the one he sent, the mediator. Why did he do it? Because of his love. What did he accomplish? He became the go-between between God and man, so that sinful people who deserve God's wrath can receive the gift of righteousness instead. Now, again, we're trying to pull together the theology of the gospel. What do we need to know for ourselves, first of all, and for those that we share the gospel with? What is significant about Jesus as the mediator between God and man? Well, we have to know that Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is fully divine himself. That is very important. Don't think of Son as being a lesser being than God the Father. No, they are co-equal and co-eternal. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Well, who is this Word? We find out in just a few verses in John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." All right, well, why is it so important that our mediator be fully and truly divine, fully God? Because you have a God-sized debt to pay. Your sin is so significant, it took God's death on the cross to pay the price for your sin and for your soul. If you come and bop me in the head, that's a big deal. I don't like that. I don't want you to do that. But if you did it, it would be what it is. But if you go and bop a police officer in the head who's in the line of duty, acting in the line of duty, that's a much bigger deal. Even though you've done the exact same thing. You have bopped an innocent person in the head. But suppose you bopped the President of the United States in the head. Well, once again, you're bopping. The crime of bopping has become exponentially more intense and serious because of the person you bopped. Well, friends, when you and I sin, we are not just violating some good ideas that grandma came up with. We are violating the laws of the eternal creator of the universe, the Holy One. And so when we sin against holy God, we have the biggest debt of all. Why does hell make sense? Hell makes sense because God is eternal. His holiness is eternal. His wrath is eternal. And we have sinned against this God. So we need God to come and pay the God-sized debt that we owe. But couldn't just be an angel or it couldn't just be God. God can't die. He had to be able to identify with us, and he had to be able to identify with us truly and fully and completely. And so therefore, it is essential for us to know that our mediator, in addition to being God, is man, and he is completely and fully human to be our go-between. The letter to the Hebrews says it so well in Hebrews chapter 2, where it says in verses 17 and 18, "Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of it, of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Keyword, propitiation, which means satisfaction, which means paid in full. If you have something that you want to pay for at the store and you give the right amount of money, you get a receipt that says you have paid the price for that object. The Lord Jesus, being fully human, can identify with us, and he fully qualified to pay the price for our sins. Well, we are in the series on the theology, the components of the gospel. What do we need to know? And we are on the third component, which is God's provision, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a mediator, and he's been sent to us because of God's great love for us. We have seen that he had to be truly divine, and he is, and he had to be truly human, and he is. And now we want to have a break and think about these things for a few minutes. And when we come back, we are going to see the path that the mediator took to make this provision for your salvation.
And we'll be back with Dr. Kratz in just a moment as he continues to talk about Christ's sacrifice and God's provision. And it got me to thinking about another one of our fellows, Tim Challies, and his book, Seasons of Sorrow. It's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And this is not your typical Christian book, so to speak. Tim wrote this book after losing his 20-year-old son, Nick. Through his grief, discovered something very profound that I think speaks to all of us today, and that's how God is sovereign even in loss. And it's exactly what Dr. Kratz has been talking about. God's provision is not just something that's theoretical. It meets us in our darkest moments, and that's why I recommend you picking up Tim Challies' Seasons of Sorrow, available again in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of dark moments, we're living in a time right now where biblical truth is pushed to the margins. Every day we hear from believers who feel isolated, who feel overwhelmed, who are unsure how to stand firm in their faith. And that's exactly why we need partners just like you. You know what keeps me up at night, and I'm serious about this, it's the thought of Christians trying to navigate this cultural moment alone. We live in a brave new world, and when you become a gospel partner with Fortis Institute, you're not just supporting another ministry, you're joining a movement to equip believers with rock-solid biblical truth when they need it the most. I mean, think about it. Your monthly support helps us create resources that speak truth when everything else seems to scream compromise. Listen, I'm not just asking for financial support here. I'm inviting you to become a part of something bigger. When you become a gospel partner, you're saying, look, I refuse to let my brothers and sisters in Christ walk this road alone. Your partnership matters more than you know. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner today? Just visit fortisinstitute.org right now to get answers to any questions you may possibly have. And something else that might encourage you before we get back to Dr. Kratz, and that's if you sign up to become a Fortis Insider, also at fortisinstitute.org, and completely free, by the way, you're going to get daily content delivered right to your email inbox that will help you navigate these challenges we're talking about with biblical wisdom. Plus, you can download our free Fortis Plus app, hundreds of hours of audio and video content, 7 new posts every single day. FortisInstitute.org. Check it out right now and sign up to become a Fortis Insider. And now let's get back to Dr. John Kratz as he continues to talk about the provision of God. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It's more than being a knower of the truth. It has to be knowing and doing.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. We are talking about the components of the gospel, the greatest news of all, that God has made a way for guilty sinners to be in a right relationship with him. And we are considering God's provision, the third component of the gospel. We have seen that God was motivated by love to send a mediator between himself and humanity. And we've also learned what needed to be true of the mediator. He needed to be truly divine and truly human, the Lord Jesus Christ fully qualifies. So what did the mediator do when he came to this world? And I want to take us to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, which says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Jesus was Jewish. He came in the time of the Old Covenant law, and the law showed sin. It was like the straight edge, which shows us how crooked we are when you see what God commands and what he says, do this. And we kind of go, maybe, maybe not. And sometimes he says, don't do this. And we say, maybe so. And we know this in our heart and all of these things. That's why the Lord needed to come. But Jesus came and he was under this very same system of law. And the difference is he had no sin nature. He was virgin born and he never sinned one time. He never had one evil thought. He never said one bad word. And it is amazing. He was perfectly pure, just like those Old Testament sacrifices had to be perfectly pure. There couldn't be blemishes on the animals that you offered to God because they were a picture of the perfect purity of the ultimate sacrifice, who would be the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 53, which was written some 700 years before Jesus came, but it sounds like it could have been in the New Testament itself, listen to these words describing the substitution of Jesus on the cross. It says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 6. What a great picture. I remember the first time I read these words. I was at a retreat, and this is back when I had finished my first year of college. I went to a state school for a year before I transferred to a Christian college. And at the end of that, the campus ministry that I was part of had a retreat. And they took us to the beach. It was Nags Head, North Carolina, where we were. I'm originally from Virginia. And so we went down there and just having some time together. And they put in the schedule devotional time, quiet time. Great. Read your Bible. Go have some time with the Lord. And so I was a brand new Christian, only been a Christian actually a couple of years at that point. But I didn't really have a regular Bible reading plan at that point. No one had come alongside of me and said, hey, you know, it's a really good idea to be reading your Bible day by day. And so I wasn't sure what to do. And I had heard about the verse, Isaiah 53, 5, and particularly that phrase, by his wounds or by his stripes, we are healed. And somebody had told me, oh, you know what? That whole chapter is really good. And so there I was, sitting on the beach early in the morning, all by myself with my Bible. And I read the entire chapter of Isaiah 53. And later, I had a prayer time. And as I was having the prayer time, the words of Scripture just came down like a weight upon my soul. And I was struck by the absolute innocence of Jesus and the absolute guilt of me. I'm the one that could have written these words. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, that brought me peace. And with his stripes, I am healed. That was crushing to me that day. The tears flowed because it was so precious that God sent Jesus to be the provision for my sins. And of course, not only for mine, but for every person who would ever repent of their sins and believe in the gospel. God's provision is massive and complete and thorough. He is the mediator between us and God. He paid the price in full. It's amazing to think about and amazing to get the privilege to share with other people. And I just also want us to remember the absolute importance of his resurrection. So we're talking about God's provision, and we're talking about the fact that he lived a perfect life. The God-man lived a perfect life, and he died as a substitute for sinners on the cross. He wasn't just in the right place or the wrong place at the wrong time and was trapped. No, he willingly gave his life, motivated by love for sinners, and he died in the place of sinners. God poured his eternal wrath out on his son on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. And we don't look backwards to the cross and see Jesus still there suffering for our sins. No, he did it. One of his last words on the cross was "Tetelestai." In other words, it is finished. All that was necessary to satisfy God's eternal wrath has been accomplished. Propitiation, remember that means satisfaction, has occurred because of what Christ has done on the cross. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead. Proof positive to all people everywhere that everything that Jesus said was true. Every work that he did was of God, and that God accepted his sacrifice. Someone has described the resurrection as God's amen on Jesus' words, "It is finished." "It is finished," Jesus cried, and then he gave his life, gave his spirit away. There was separation of his human spirit from that physical body. There was a death that happened on the cross. Of course, the spear came into his side, and blood and water flowed mingled together so that we know he was dead. He was buried in a tomb. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead. God accepted the sacrifice. God said amen to the work of Jesus and the person of Jesus. And you can know that his provision is the right provision. It worked. And there's provision for you if you will turn from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll talk more about that in our next episode, Lord willing. But for now, consider these words from Romans 10, 9 and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. The Lord Jesus is the King. He's the Lord. He's risen from the dead. Yes, he died on the cross as that perfect substitute, as that provision, as the mediator. He is fully qualified, but he rose from the dead. He is the living Lord. And if you come to him in trust, repenting, turning from your sin, trusting in Jesus, you will be saved. the confession of your heart is Jesus is Lord. I'm not the Lord. He's the Lord. And that is the provision God uses for the great news of how you can be in a right relationship with God. Oh, if you haven't trusted Christ, do it right now, and you will be saved from that wrath of God that you deserved.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.